She's our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Let me begin by being direct. The science behind climate change is settled.
Well, Grassley actually wrote a letter after that hearing, and he was joined by all of the other Republican
members. I figured the car was going to go its maximum speed, and I was going to have to put the car into the hearing.
You have a domestic disturbance? Okay. Tell me exactly what happened.
You brought a loaded gun. Was your gun loaded today?
Famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news talk and entertainment show that knows what it is talking about, brother. This is where truth is our bitch on this show. And we get at it in a very interesting way. This is a through-the-looking-glass exercise in talk radio. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. And our website is philhendryshow.com. We'd like you to visit us there. You can watch the show as well as listen to it. I mean, this is a reality show, really. When you watch the show, you listen to our radio show, that's a whole other experience. When you're watching it, you're watching a reality show. You're watching a, you're watching the creation of a radio show and all the things that go into that. And some of it is funny, and some of it is attractive. Some of it's interesting. Some of it is violent. Some of it is ghastly. Some of it is embarrassing. But it's all there for you in living color, is what I was going to say there. I think I just kind of misspoke. Anyway, 877-876-PHIL. A woman wants to use her dead son's sperm with a surrogate mother. Coming up, Margaret Gray, nationally syndicated columnist, is going to be talking about that and about her own experience with this topic. And a new webcam site randomly connects you to other users. But some of those users can be naked men, and any kid can use the website. What do you think of that? 877 877- You're smiling there, bud. 877-876-PHIL. Margaret Gray on the line with us. Margaret, very good to have you with us this evening, and thanks for joining us.
Well, Phil, it is a great honor to be with you. And I had not heard of that webcam, so that's something else we have to discuss. But it is a great honor, and this is a very, very important issue. It is an issue, Phil, having, again, to do with women's bodies, and whether or not we have domain over our own bodies.
All right. This story, and I started referencing it a little bit earlier in the show, a Bedford, Texas woman is winning her battle to create a life after death, is the floral language put in it by Susan Donaldson. But basically, this is it. Missy Evans had a 21-year-old son named Nicholas. This young man died after an assault outside of an Austin bar last year. She arranged for a doctor to collect her son's sperm after his death, and now she's hoping to use a surrogate mother to become a grandma. She has heard from hundreds of women who've offered to be egg donors or surrogate mothers for her future grandchild. Now, you have written a column similar to this.
Well, first of all, Phil, I think Missy's story is very tragic. And as a mother, of course, my heart goes out to her. All women, I think, our hearts go out to her. In my case, my son is 15 years old. Jason J. Delmonico is a relatively well-known child actor. He's got a great future in front of him. We think he is a very special boy, his father and I. There is nothing inherently physically wrong with him. He's not in any danger. But I feel it is my right. And I really think, Phil, that it is the right of any woman. This is a very, very controversial area because we are demanding the rights over our own bodies. And I feel it is my right to harvest from my son his sperm so that it can be preserved. So that in the event, and may God never allow this to happen, in the event that something happens to my son, that I can be impregnated with this sperm and carry to term my son's own child. Now, there are doctors that have told me they will not even consider it. I am utterly stunned by that. Missy Evans is up against the same thing.
No, whoa, hold on for a minute, though, Margaret.
No, Missy Evans is up against the same thing. If you're going to say that it's because I'm carrying the the sperm. There's no difference.
No, then wait a minute. You got to get us. You know, I always like to say on this show, it isn't that I want to disagree with you, but you got to get me up to speed here. Are you asking for the right to carry your own son's sperm in your womb so that to fertilize your own eggs so that you can carry that child to term?
What I'm asking for is nothing that no mother wouldn't ask. I'm asking for something that every mother would ask for. The right to keep my child alive by way of his or her offspring. And if I cannot do that, then I don't know what kind of a totalitarian regime we live in. We already see women being told what to do with their bodies. We already see a fight to roll back the rights of women and the fight that we have fought, roll it all the way back to the Middle Ages, and now I'm being told that I cannot...
Don't you see the difference, though, between yourself and this woman?
That I cannot carry my own son's child to term. What is the point you're making?
The point that I'm making, Margaret, is that this Bedford, Texas woman wanted the sperm taken from her dead son so that she could look for a surrogate mother. You're asking to have your own egg fertilized with your own son's sperm.
Phil, if I cannot find a surrogate mother, did you read the article that this woman, that concerned this woman?
Yes, I did.
Well, then you'll note that she has had a very difficult time finding a suitable surrogate mother, one that she is going to have confidence in, a woman she's going to trust, or a woman that's healthy. What if I cannot find a suitable surrogate mother for Jason J. Delmonico's sperm? What if we have my son's sperm, but we do not have a proper host? Then what? Then what? I ask you, then what?
Then I would say, Margaret, with all due respect, that's the end of the line. I just don't think...
No. It's not the end of the... Boy, aren't you cavalier? It's the end of life. Aren't you cavalier with my own son's life?
I'm not being cavalier with your son's life. We're talking about his offspring long after he's dead.
We may or may not be talking about him long after he's dead. I'm saying that in the event something happens to my son, we already know the line will continue.
Well, are you saying that you want to carry your son's... see, you got to understand, and just let me finish, all right?
What, Phil? There's no difference between me and Missy Evans.
No, hold on for a minute. Let me finish. the difference between you and Missy Evans, and I have to keep bringing this up, is she wants to find a donor, she wants to find a surrogate mother for her son's sperm so that it can fertilize the egg of a surrogate mother. You want to carry that yourself.
I don't appreciate you turning this into something filthy.
Margaret, I'm not trying to turn it into something filthy. I'm saying that it's unusual.
It may be unusual. I'm not trying to be unusual. I'm saying, what if I cannot find a suitable surrogate mother? Now, I don't know the future of my son. I don't know what's going to happen to him. If he dies next year or the year after, if he dies within the next 2 weeks, does the line end there? It doesn't have to. And that's why we are looking to harvest sperm from him so that I can be the host.
Is the boy's not dead yet? So what is the rush?
There is no rush, but we don't know what the future will hold, Phil. I'm very, very worried that something's going to happen to him.
So in other words, nothing's happened to your son yet. He's not dead yet, like the son of this woman. But you feel the need to harvest sperm from a 15-year-old boy and have it fertilize one of your eggs.
Again, I do resent you turning this into something so filthy that really, I almost want to hang up.
Margaret, I'm not turning it into anything filthy. Am I quoting back what you're saying to me?
You're quoting it back with an inference, Phil. You're quoting it back this way. You're going, so you want to have this sperm fertilize your egg. Oh.
I didn't say that.
Well, the inference is there.
I didn't put any inference on it at all. I think what you'll find is just what you did find. The doctors are not allowing it.
And why aren't they allowing it? I'll tell you why they're not allowing it. The medical establishment in this country is filled with the most egotistical, hand-fisted, butchers that I think I've ever seen in my life. And why it is President Obama is even trying to reform a healthcare system that is so putrid and so polluted with egotistical butchers. And I'll say it again, I don't know. These butchers and these quacks won't allow me to do what a mother's right is, and that is to ensure the longevity of her son's life. I have tried to call them.
All right, but Margaret, they've told you no, right?
They have told me no. No, one doctor told me no.
Is there only one doctor, or have you been to more than one?
Phil, the point is this. I want to carry...
Have the doctors told you no?
One of them did, yes.
Well, maybe they'll say to you yes at some point.
It doesn't make any difference what they say. I'm going to do it. I think that... You know, I thought that I would find a sympathetic ear on your program.
The only thing that I've got to question you about is the ethics of this, the morality of this, okay? Now, you're talking to me about the sperm of your own son fertilizing one of your own eggs, all right?
If he dies.
No, you want to do it now while he's still alive.
I want to do it now in anticipation that, yes, he will die.
Well, what if he outlives you? What if he never? What if he doesn't die in your lifetime?
He's a child actor. He's in the public eye. There's a chance, a slim chance, but there is a chance that some jealous man, someone who saw him in a commercial, someone who thinks that they want to be him, and we know what happened to John Lennon. And I'm not saying that Jason J. Delmonico is John Lennon. I'm saying, what if he gets jumped? You see, and this is what we worry about.
What if he gets jumped? And what, killed?
I think if you get jumped, you get killed, yes.
And you're worried that he's going to get jumped, and so you want to make sure that his sperm fertilizes one of your eggs, not the egg of a surrogate mother, because you don't know if you can find one suitable.
Yes, Phil, that's exactly right. And again, I resent you turning this into something so salacious, so filthy, that you'd find it laying on a railroad track with the pages stuck together. And I'm sorry to put it that way.
Oh, my God.
I really am sorry to put it that way, Phil, but you, I think you have a way of pushing these issues in a direction that I don't like.
All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL. We're talking with Margaret Gray here about her son, Jason J. Delmonico. We're talking real about a story in Texas where a woman was able to get sperm from her dead son and have it preserved so that she could fertilize the egg of a donor or a surrogate mother. Margaret Gray wants to collect the sperm from her son so that it can fertilize one of her eggs, literally carry her own son's child to term in case they can't find a surrogate mother. 877-877-877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Phil, welcome back, world famous Phil Hendry Show, and we are talking here with Margaret Gray about a story out of Benton, Texas, which is pretty interesting. A woman whose son died in a bar fight, has had his sperm collected and preserved, and now she is looking for a surrogate mother so that she could be a grandmother.
And Phil, that's really you don't understand how powerful that is. That is a very, very powerful image.
No, I understand that the image is very, very powerful. She wants to be a grandmother. You want to be a grandmother, too, but you want to carry your son's sperm in your own egg.
Because of the fact that I don't know whether or not you're listening to me. I said...
I'm listening to you, but I need to have this repeated so my audience understands. You want to carry your own son's sperm in your own body.
Yes, and you turn that into something incestuous...
Well, the doctors don't want to do it, Margaret. You've told me the doctors don't want to do it. Okay?
And I have said to you that the doctors themselves, this group of doctors that all of these Republicans want to protect are quack, ham-fisted butchers. Butchers like I've never seen. And I can assure you, Phil, that I do not want to put my own personal well-being into the hands of men that might as well be carving meat.
All right, Margaret, you know, you can discuss all you want the status of the medical profession and the health profession, but the fact that these doctors will not go near you with a 2 foot, you know, with a, you know, 2 foot scalpel, when it comes to you carrying your own son's sperm in your egg, is understandable. Ethically, it's very weird.
You know something, Phil? We have been living with women having their bodies controlled for a long time.
I don't think this has really anything to do with that.
Excuse me, but I'll speak about my own body if you don't mind. When it comes to this issue, I won't be lectured to by men. First of all, women have been told long enough what to do with their own bodies. We have just now come out of an era where there have been back alley abortions. We have just now come out of an era where we were using coat hangers. Coat hangers. And we had to have a note from our husband to buy a coat hanger. Now what we have is possession of our own bodies thanks to Roe v. Wade. All I am asking for is the right to be a grandmother and to let my son's line live.
You said that you got a 15-year-old son, okay?
I know how old my son is.
No, he's a 15-year-old boy, okay? So it doesn't have anything to do with his... He's not sick.
He is a child... Didn't you hear what I said? He's a child actor. He could get jumped.
I don't know what you mean by a child actor getting jumped. Because he's popular?
Yes. Other boys see him, and they want to be him, and they do what Mark David Chapman did to John Lennon. I don't understand why this is difficult for you to understand. They would...
Mark David Chapman was obsessed with John Lennon. You think that your son at the age of 15 is going to get jumped and killed, and so you have to do this now. So you want this done while the child is alive.
There is very little difference between what I want and what Missy Evans wants.
Missy Evans wants this done because her son is dead, okay?
Her son is dead. My son could be dead, Phil. That is the only difference.
All right. She wants to harvest the sperm and put it into a surrogate mother.
I want to do the same thing. The surrogate mother is me. You're trying to find differences that simply do not exist, Phil.
All right, 877, you know, if I can't make... I believe I'm making sense. 877-876-PHIL. Let me go over to Tracy in Anchorage, Alaska. Tracy, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Margaret Gray. Go ahead.
Hi, Phil.
Yes,
Margaret,
ma'am.
I'm a mother. I have a 3-year-old son. And, it would be a lot cheaper than harvesting your son's sperm if you just have sex in some old-fashioned way, because it's both incest.
Why is that? And you know something? I'm not shocked. Go ahead. Define what you mean by that.
You want to carry your son's seed in your womb.
Yes, but I don't want to have sex with my son.
Same thing. It's going to end up... It's gonna
really?
Result
How
in
is
the
it
same...
the same thing? How is it
You're
going to
have a retarded
thing?
Kid, by the way.
Well, living in Alaska, I guess you'd know.
All right. Anything else, Tracy? All right. 877-877. I don't think that's the question. I would agree with you there, Margaret. We're not talking about you having sex with your son. The doctors, though, believe it to be incestuous from the standpoint of that second comment.
That my son's going to come out retarded.
That not your son.
My grandson or my grandchild.
Yeah, that this is your... You don't feel...
That is absolute, utter old wives' tale. That doesn't happen. It never has happened. And as I said to the young lady calling from Alaska, it doesn't surprise me that she lives in Alaska with an attitude like that. Forgive me for saying that, but take a look at the governor of that state.
All right, we don't have to get into that, and we're not going to start bad-mouthing Sarah Palin. But the fact is...
No, but look at what's going on in that state with that... She's got a son or a son-in-law that's posing naked for a gay magazine. She's got a daughter that's knocked up. I'm not talking about that. I'm simply talking about carrying my own son's seed and giving birth to my own grandchild, and there is no such thing as inbred this or inbred that. And I think people in Alaska and elsewhere probably are a little bit, they're probably just a little bit sensitive about the topic. And if I can give them any comfort, I can tell them it won't happen.
Well, all right, maybe you know something that I don't know.
Maybe I do.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. We're talking here with Margaret Gray. She says that there's no such thing as chromosomal damage or any kind of retardation if, you know, if you're having sex. We're not even talking about that. She wants to carry the seed of her own son, Jason J. Delmonico, in case he dies, so that she can give birth to her own grandchild. 877-876-PHIL is the number here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. 877-876-PHIL. Margaret Gray with us. More of your calls coming up. And we also, coming up later in the program, five habits you can adopt to be happy.
Phil Henry.
It's the Phil Henry Show. 877-876-PHIL. You know, you're not having sex with your son. I'll give you that, okay? But you're wanting to carry. We got Margaret Gray on the line with us here on the Phil Henry Show, who wants to carry the sperm of her son in her egg. You want your own son to fertilize your own egg.
And Phil, you talk about it like it is absolutely the most disgusting thing you've ever heard of in your life. You talk about it as if it is incest. Now, I heard the young lady, and maybe in her world that's what it is, but not in mine. And this mother who wants to keep her son alive. You know, I don't see anybody having a problem with her. Her son was killed in a bar fight. Wouldn't you have some judgment of her?
I'm not going to have any judgment of anybody, Margaret. I'm not even judging you. You know.
Oh, you're not.
Well, I'm not judging you from the standpoint of how your son died. I mean, I'm not going to judge her. If her son died in a bar fight, he died in a bar fight. And I don't care how your son dies, if he dies. God forbid that he does. I just have a problem with you. You know, wanting your son's line to exist so bad that you want to have him fertilize your own egg.
I'm not having sex with my own son, Phil.
I know that you're not having sex with your own son, but the doctors won't let you do it. And that's the bottom line on that.
So we are back in a time when we were self-aborting with knitting needles. Is that it?
How is that putting you back in a time when you're self-aborting with knitting needles? Boy,
when our bodies were not ours, Phil.
Well, how do you feel that your body is not yours?
Because I've got a doctor telling me, and I've got others telling me that I can't do this. We are back at a time when we were running coat hangers up in there and going back and forth with it as if we were cleaning off a barbecue grill.
All right, I can't listen to this, okay?
Oh, what's the truth hurts, huh?
No, I can't listen to this. Why do you have to be so graphic?
I'm graphic, Phil, because that is exactly what happened. That is exactly what happened. And when someone says to me that I can't have my own son's sperm fertilize my own eggs, I feel like I'm taking a coat hanger and a...
All right, thank you very much. I can't have her on the air talking about that anymore, bud.
Well, I told her, but she did.
I don't want to listen to it. I don't want to hear about it. Good luck. I hope you are impregnated by your own son's seed. And, you know, and I hope he forgives you someday when you give birth to his kid and he didn't even know that he had one. How about that?
What do you mean? Is the kid, is she going to at least introduce him?
Introduce who? The kid to the son?
Yeah. Yeah, I figured she would.
I don't give a crap what she does. Introduce him. Hi, here's your son.
Yeah, I figured she would.
877-876-PHIL. Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. There are five things, according to somebody, scientists. You know, when we say scientists, it must be true. The pursuit of happiness is sometimes easier said than done. Some scientists have argued that happiness is largely determined by genetics, health, and other factors mostly outside of our control. That's what some scientists have said, that happiness is outside of our control. Well, they're wrong. Recent research suggests people actually can take charge of their own happiness and boost it through certain practices. Now, this may be obvious to you, and maybe it isn't so obvious to you. Some people like, you know, believe in science so much that while one person says they're happy, another person may say, well, you may think you're happy, but are you really? And until science can actually say you're happy, then we just don't want to believe you. So A psychologist at the University of California spoke Saturday at the annual meeting of the American Association for the Advancement of Science. She and colleagues last year reviewed 51 studies that tested attempts to increase happiness through different types of positive thinking and found these five things have shown can improve happiness. The first one is be grateful. I can dig that. Some studies, participants were asked to write letters of gratitude to people who'd helped them in some way. Be grateful. So I don't know that people really do that much. You know, that is express gratitude. So that's pretty cool. Now, the second one is a real pain in the ass. Be optimistic. Have you ever had people tell you that?
Yeah, they're saying be happy and everything.
Pain in the ass. Be optimistic. Another practice that seems to help is optimistic thinking. Study participants were asked to visualize an ideal future, for example, living with a loving and supportive partner, finding a job, and describe the image in a journal entry. And doing this for a few weeks, these people, too, reported increased feelings of well-being. Well, I don't even know what they mean by optimistic thinking. Is it once a day? Is it all the time? It's real pain in the ass stuff. I don't think anybody can really define what optimistic thinking is. Now, there's visualization, but to be optimistic all the time, which is essentially what they're talking about, forget it. Here's one. Count your blessings. Now, I personally think this is also bullcrap. If you remember that scene in Fisher King, Tom Waits plays a Vietnam veteran in a wheelchair, and he says, I'm like a moral cop. He said, I'm like a moral red light or traffic light. He says, a guy sees me, and he may say, boy, look at how sorry that guy is. I'm certainly lucky to have what I have. And so, therefore, he never goes out and does anything bigger. He's just happy to have what he has because look at that guy in a wheelchair. He's got it so much better than him, see? So counting your blessings sometimes can be like a pothole, you know. People who practice writing down three good things that have happened to them every week show significant boosts in happiness, studies have found. It seems the act of focusing on the positive helps people remember reasons to be glad. You know, guys, I'm just telling you, that's bullcrap, too. So of the four we've read, three of them suck. And the final one, commit acts of kindness. It turns out, I don't know where they get this commit acts of kindness thing. You mean perform acts of kindness? It turns out helping others also helps ourselves. People who donate time or money to charity or who altruistically assist people in need report improvements in their own happiness. All right, of the five, get out and help people, that's a good one. Be grateful, that's a good one. The other three, don't waste your time. Count your blessings, be optimistic. Oh, and the third one was use your strengths. Another study asked people to identify their greatest strengths and then try to use these strengths. See, most people think that there's nothing wrong with them, that the world sucks. Believe it or not, you may be one of those people that actually is honest with yourself. You say, well, I got a lot of faults. Most people think that they're fine. They're just victims of a rotten world. So this one here is deceptive. When you say to them, use your strengths, well, they automatically, well, I got a lot of strengths, right? But they never get around to using their strengths because they don't really know what they are. That's number one. And number two, they won't work because the world sucks. So their attitude about the world keeping them down continues, and the strengths, the marvelous strengths that they have, they never do get around to using because the world stinks, okay? So that's why that doesn't work. Of these five, I'll tell you, only two of them work. Be grateful, commit acts of kindness. And to be happy, ultimately, is to not fear death. That's number one. Recognize it as just a part of life. That's number one, to be happy. And number two, it's to do what you love, even if you never make a dime at it.
Are you kidding me or something, man? I'd never be happy in a million years if I did that.
Well, then you'll never be happy in a million years because you're not going to do it. If you did it, you would be happy, but you ain't going to do it, see? So you're an idiot. 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Charlie Sheen heading to rehab, and some pole dancing enthusiasts want to be included in the Olympics. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. This is the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL. Let me tell you about something I saw here. I've got two friends of mine that have wound up in the hospital because of people texting when they drive. Now, there's only one thing to do with anybody that texts when they drive, and that's to kill them. Kill them. I mean it.
You're kidding.
Well, I'm sort of kidding, but no, actually, in a way, I'm not kidding. I think that anyone that is texting while they drive deserves to die in a gasoline explosion running into the back end of a truck. Honest to God. I've got friends of mine who are in the hospital, not now, but were put in the hospital in intensive care because some douchebag was texting while they were driving and ran right into the ass end of them. Okay? People die. And I mean, they die horribly when they're run into by some jackass who's texting. Now, you can do whatever you want in Washington, D.C. with your Metro bus drivers. It doesn't make any difference to me, man. I ain't going to be riding a bus in your town anytime soon. I don't ride buses. I'm happy to go to Washington. I think it's the capital of our country, and I want to go see the Smithsonian and all that marvelous stuff. I ain't going to get on no bus. I don't ride buses. I'd rather walk. I'll take a cab. I'll take the trolley car. I'll even take the train, you know, the subway and the loop and all that jazz. I ain't going to get on a bus. I don't like buses. They stink. And I don't particularly like the guys that drive them. And I don't want to have a hassle about the change. And I don't want the guy to miss my stop. I just don't get on buses. When I'm in New York, I take the subway. I go from downtown, wherever the hell it is I want to go, man. I usually stay around Midtown someplace. I'm all over the damn town in the subway. When I'm in Los Angeles, I'm driving a car. This is the way you travel. In New York, the subway. In L.A., a car. You don't take the metro line. You don't take the buses. If you want to get to where you want to go in this city, car. San Francisco, you can walk. You can take the trolley car. You can take, you know, you can take the A train, man. You can take BART. Don't take a bus. Now, that's just my own personal opinion. And it just so happens that it coincides very neatly with this story because it's a Metro bus driver in Washington, D.C. who was texting behind the wheel of his bus. He was supposed to have been fired, but he wasn't fired. Now, Fox Television, as we all know, has a vested interest in certain things, just like CNN does. You know, in other words, Fox TV, like CNN, they have an editorial point of view. And their editorial point of view is decidedly, it's just decidedly, anti-jackass. Let's put it that way. Whereas CNN is a little more pro-jackass. So in any event, Fox really got hot and bothered about this Metro bus driver who was texting. Was he fired? Well, they thought he was. Well, no, he wasn't. Guess what? The union stepped in and they saved his job. Now, that's fine. You can do whatever you want. It doesn't make any difference to me. I'm not going to try to get a guy fired. I'm not here to get someone to lose their job. You know, I'm not going to ride on your buses, and I sure as hell ain't going to ride on a bus with some jackass who's texting while he's driving a bus. Because guess what? If he keeps doing that, he's going to kill somebody. He's probably going to kill more than one person. He'll probably kill like 8, 9, 10 people. Because that's what the ultimate boob in our world does, the guy that texts, the woman that texts while they're driving. So I believe that anyone that texts while they're driving, there's only one good end for them, and that is their car catapulting and somersaulting down the side of a hill, hitting the bottom of a ravine, and exploding.
Just like in those movies that they never do.
Yeah, well, what do you mean the movies? They never do in real life.
Yeah, in the movies they blow up and they look good.
Exactly. I want more of that in real life. I want the car going boom, 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 and then bang at the bottom of the ravine.
Yeah, but they never do it in real life.
I know they don't do it in real life. I don't care whether they do it in real life. The union there in Washington, D.C., it was a Metro bus driver. I don't know. He was texting somebody. Is this a photograph? Maybe they got an actual photograph of this jackass texting. Whatever it was he was doing. A spokesperson for the law firm that represents the union, and I'm not anti-union. It's funny how many working people are anti-union. But there's another load that's been sold people. The unions are bad. It's the unions. How do you get a working stiff to believe that the union is bad, but the boss, he's just a sweetheart? How do you get half of these working stiffs out here? I could talk to people calling the show tonight. 90% of them would be anti-union. And you know why? Because the political point of view of a great many working people is the following. They don't want to be a part of any coffee klatch with a bunch of these jive-ass liberals, right? And they figure that the unions are anti-ownership, anti-management. They're anti the people they work for, and they're loyal to the people that they work for. And they want to be one of those guys that they work for someday. And if not, they always want to have faith, and they always want to believe in a guy that they work for. Now, that's a great attitude, but the fact is the guy they work for, 9 times out of 10, he couldn't care whether you live or die, man. 9 times out of 10, that guy couldn't care whether you get out of bed in the morning or just lay there dead. It doesn't matter to him. But he wants you to have that loyalty because that stands between him and the organization of workers into a union. I happen to believe in unions. I know unions can be unreasonable. I've been a shop steward. That means I negotiated for a contract, to renegotiate a contract for the shop that I represented, which was a radio station. And I didn't want to be unreasonable, but I could see they'd made money. They'd made a hell of a lot of money. And we were not asking for a very big raise. So it didn't take a whole lot of figuring out, man. We took a look at their books. We realized how much money they were making. We were not asking for a big raise. We said, we want the raise. And what did they say? They said, no. And not only that, they said they were going to be negotiating for only 48 hours. Then they had to leave town. That's not good faith. So I said, all right, well, we're going to go out on strike. Guess what happened? They came up with the money. Why do you have to do that? Why do you have to push it to that end? Why do you have to have bad blood? Is the mere fact that I'm asking for a raise, is that an affront, an assault on you, the management guy, the owner? Is that what you think that is? I'd like a raise. How dare you? Well, I mean, all it is that, well, I'm only going to be in town for 48 hours and I'll talk about it. Well, we happen to have taken, and you asked to look at our books? Well, yeah, because we got to know how much money you're making. We want to find out whether or not what you're saying to us is true. You don't trust me? Oh, will you get off that trust thing? What the hell do you think you are, man? Off the playground? Are we talking business or are we not? Yes, we're talking about. Okay, all I want to know is how much bread you guys. If you didn't make any bread, it was a flat quarter, whatever the hell you guys call it. Well, we're not going to. I'm not here to hold you up. This is the company I work for. I don't want to see you go out of business. But the mere fact that you ask these guys, the mere fact that you say, I want to see the numbers, oh my God, you'd swear you thought, you might as well have said to them that you'd like to, sleep with their daughters and then maybe marry them, but only if the dowry is sizable and, well, you know how that goes. So, they get all offended. And you say to the guy, all right, you don't want to show me these numbers and we're only going to be in town for 48 hours. Well, there's a thing called good faith bargain. That's not good faith. Well, I'm going to be here for 2 days. We're going to be here for 2 days, okay? I don't have the time to go through the books and sit down and have you guys negotiate a deal with us in 2 days. That's not good faith bargaining. Well, that's it. That's why. Well, okay, then we're going to go out on strike. And then comes this. They're going to go out on strike, even though, this and that and something, and we're just now getting momentum. So I know from practical experience, many times it's simply a matter of a worker saying, I don't really know how much money you made. I know the company's doing well. Can we take a look at your books? We want to, assess our contract. We want to find out. And right away, the minute that you want to take a look at how much bread they're making, because you're a part of the workforce, you're a part of the union shop, they get all upset, see? Well, you're working for that company. And they love to give the speeches about how you helped them make the profit. Boy, if it wasn't for you guys, if it wasn't for our workers, where would we be? Is that right? Yeah, okay. Well, then how about showing us the numbers? Well, So you ask to see these, and there's going to be this contention, and then the next thing you know, they're all pissed off at you because you asked for more money. So you may not like unions, folks, but I got news for you. They're here for a reason. If management and if owners had played ball with workers from the beginning, if they'd been fair from the beginning, there wouldn't be any need for unions. There wouldn't be any need for a man to unionize. What, do you think these guys went out and organized because they just happen to like belong to clubs or something? You think the commies were that persuasive? The commies came in and said, look at how this guy's screwing you? I mean, they know how well they're living or how poorly they're living. They know how much money they're making. They know whether they can feed their kids or not. They don't need some freaking commie to come in to America, of all places, and say, here's why you got it bad. They already know they got it bad. I need some bunch of socialist, Euro trash socialists to come over here and say, and here is why you need a union, because look, you're poor. Oh, well, thanks a lot, man. Tell me something else I don't know. I know how good or how bad I've got it, okay? And if we need to unionize, then I guess we need to unionize. Now, if you're going to sit there with a boss who isn't taking some of these things into consideration, like, for instance, work safety and all these other things that began at the beginning, then, yeah, okay, so you got to have a union. And things get ugly, and that's just how it is. Today, ladies and gentlemen, we hear it is the unions. That's the reason why Detroit is in the mess that it's in. This lie continues. And the owners, the engineers, the technocrats, the business leaders, they keep getting away with bloody murder. And the same things continue to happen, and the same people keep blaming the same guy, the union. And meanwhile, the inept, and I mean the bloody inept business leader of this country, continues to get away with bloody murder, okay? So I don't know what that's got to do with text, people to text when they drive needing to die.
That's a pretty good capper.
I thought we wrapped it up really good. Now, I want to get to Tony Kornheiser getting suspended by ESPN. We'll tell you why next, 877-876-PHIL.
Phil Hendry.